but also that's Him supplying all of our need. Right? Hallelujah. That don't happen for everybody. Praise God. So be encouraged that God sees everything. Well, if you're not believing, go ahead and shift gears and get in a place of expectation, because expectation through the Bible, and I'm not just talking about this service, it always brings a manifestation to the ones that's got the expectation, whether it's in service or outside, hallelujah. And so, but I'm going to be talking to you tonight a little bit about evangelism. And there's some things just stirring. You know, I've been a minister all my life spiritually. I mean, about 6 months into it, but that's not what caused me to prosper. You know, the Lord puts things in us, and I'm going to be talking about the street. In March, we're going to launch the street ministry. We're going to put together two teams, and we're going to do one way and one other, and we're going to be seeking the Lord in between that. Praise God, hallelujah. And I was thinking about the ministry here, and some of you are not going to be called to go on the streets, that one-on-one. But the Lord wants you to pray and to fast and to intercede for that ministry. Because it's not just about winning the lost out there. It is about that. But Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick and afflicted, right? He's in us. We're anointed of Him. The whole body of Christ has that same anointing Jesus had, because He's in us. Hallelujah. Now, there's different gifts and callings, but everybody works in the calling of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and when Michael come through, it stirred in me the evangelism and the excitement when I did do the work of the ministry out there. I still do it. I witness to people all the time, but that was different. You know, going to the jails, the street ministry and the jail ministry and all of that stuff, you know, and all of the challenges that came along with it developed me. They was developing me, and the challenges, the lack that I didn't have, the support that it seemed that I didn't have, that I thought I should have had, and all of that, and had to boil down to, Lord, this is about You. This is about what You've called me to do. And all the while, everything that we do is going to build us up in Him. And, you know, I've learned over the years, you know, that when we are set out to make God's kingdom high priority in our life, whether it's, I mean, if I'm on the job and somebody's got cancer or something, I'll pray for them. I'm not there just to make money. I'm going to make money. He said, if I seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to me. Right? That's what the Bible says. So, I mean, you know, and just like I've been inviting some people to church, and one called, and I've seen them get touched by the Lord and get fired up for the Lord and go about 2 or 3 months, and then the enemy begins to attack and bring back some things and everything, and I saw the fire begin to be put out in that person's life by their own surrender. You can't stop God. You can't stop the healing. Only we can in our life, in the strength, the grace, and the glory of God. But anyhow, sent me a text, a message this evening on when I was inviting people to church on Facebook, and sent a message and says, please pray for me. And I said, you got it. I said, you got it. And her name's Jennifer. We're going to believe for her complete restoration and healing, hallelujah, you know, and I thought about it. I thought, you know what, I didn't have Facebook back under, but I got Facebook now. I can be a witness on Facebook. But God, I can preach on Facebook. I can minister, and it's not about preaching. It's about a heart that we have from the Lord to make a difference in the lives of people that we speak something to, or we put something on Facebook. I mean, that is a great tool that God uses. I mean, Facebook ain't got nobody in church. Didn't y'all start because of Facebook? But it's good to invite, right? So they have knowledge and all that. But who in the book of Acts and all through done the increase in the church? The Lord. The Bible says, lest the Lord build the house is built in vain that builds it. See, he takes us through and he equips us, then he sends us out. That's what he did in the Bible. He taught them, equipped them, sent them out. Taught them the Word of God. So, you know, get ready. All of us need to get ready. Put that scripture up there, Luke 4, please, Beth. I want to challenge every one of you to take this scripture right here, and this was prophesied in the book of Isaiah, and that's where Jesus read it from when he come to the knowledge of where he was going and the ministry and all of that. And I felt like I was called to preach back yonder. And number one, I'm called to be a Christian, right? That's first. That relationship with the Lord, it's first. Then all this other stuff, he lines up for us. But anyhow, the Lord spoke to me, and I just told it to Ty. He needs to write this down, and don't be surprised if he don't start preaching to you for long. But Jesus said here, is that Luke? Luke 4 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And there's a reason why the Spirit of the Lord was on him. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and set them at liberty that are bruised. And so I took that scripture and I memorized that scripture until I could say it without going to the Bible. And every night after I learned that scripture, I would quote that over myself, and I would say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Everybody can, whether you think you're called or not, you're a Christian. This he didn't say in Ephesians, Paul, that this scripture here and this anointing here is only give to the fivefold ministry. The Bible says in Mark 16:17, it says, these signs shall follow believers. See, I didn't go to the jails just because I was called. I hardly ever thought about that part of it. I went to those jails because I was like, man, they're in there by the enemy. I mean, somehow he tricked them. Somehow he got them, you know, and got them to do what it took to get in there. And I'm anointed to go get them free. That's what that did to me. I thought, the Spirit of the Lord is on. And then before you know it, it's coming up in me, praise God. And I thought, because at that time I thought, I can't preach. Nobody will listen. All that stuff, that's just because we've not yet got a hold of, it's not us. It's not our strength. It's not our power. It's not our anointing. The Spirit of God is on us because he has anointed us. Hallelujah. The anointing on your life gets rid of sickness and disease. The anointing, we are not slaves to poverty. We're not slaves to lack. We're not to become slaves to it. You know, and I just told Teresa today, and I'm bragging on Jesus Christ when I say this. I just told Teresa today, I said, you know what? I said where we're at today in the material realm, the financial realm, I said, we didn't get here by our own means. I didn't get here because I've got degrees in college and had the best job. No, the Spirit of the Lord is on us to increase. But you know, I was sitting there today and the Lord spoke to me and he said, but you got to always remember, you know, this that Jesus done, he said, it's not just all about you and your blessing and being blessed. He said, it comes through that. You will be blessed. He said, but you've always got to have a heart for my desires and my will, and it is to reach beyond. I saved you to touch somebody. I saved you to be a witness. I saved you to be a light in a dark world. Hallelujah. And so we got to be careful that we don't follow after dreams, but follow after Jesus. Amen? We don't follow after our dreams and go after our dreams. That's what he told them over there when he said, seek first the kingdom up above that. He said, all of these things does the Gentiles, the nations without God, seek after. He said, but he told them, he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added. See, I mean, I own my own business, you know, but I've never went after the business. I've went after God and believing God to increase the business. You got to keep it in check. You know, believing that that is the will of God for me. And that's why I tell people, find the will of God. You need to find the will of God. Because in the will of God, all these things will be added, whether it's in your marriage or in, I mean, if God's called you to ministry, look, he knows how to make things and to rearrange things. That's where we just have to lay down our thoughts and say, well, I know I'm so busy there right now. I know, but then none of that matters, God, because if you've called me and anointed me, you open doors. You work things out the way I can't see it. You cause things to happen that will fall in line where I can do everything that you've called me to do, and you have anointed me. Every one of us needs to take that scripture to where we can say it out of our mouth and know where it's at. The Spirit of the Lord is anointing me, is upon me. He's anointing me to preach the gospel. We need to be able to quote that scripture without going to the Bible. That is what meditating on the Word, thinking about the Word, meditating on it, saying it out your, and it goes from your head and from head knowledge down in your heart. And once it's wrote upon the tables of your heart, it begins to bear the fruit of the kingdom. But we already are awesomely blessed by the Lord. We celebrated in January this month. You know, this is the 24th year, I believe it is, since we started this ministry. You know, God sent us down here and planted us here in 24 years. And I've watched God the whole time increase. Some of you that's here that wasn't here when we started and God told us to start these ministries that's going down here, and some later, you know. And you're getting to reap where you didn't have to sow. That's in the Bible. That you'll reap where you didn't have to sow, you didn't have to labor, you didn't have to sacrifice. A lot of us sacrificed a lot. I mean, I sacrificed my job at times. I had to put it to the side and say, that's not happening, and call customers and tell them it's not, and be threatened they're going to go somewhere else and have to say, well, that's fine. You know, I understand if you got to go somewhere else. Not telling them I'm a preacher. But I just knew that what God was wanting me to do. And not one time have I ever, that I can remember, lost not one job because of putting the kingdom first. Making the kingdom priority. More important to me. You see, but I don't know about you, but when I got saved, when I give my heart to Jesus, my life was totally broken. My marriage was broken. I mean, no finance. I mean, you know, we started out the other day. I don't remember what it was. Backed out, and I was out of the driveway and said something. We was talking about something in Teresa. And I said, well, I said, you know, I said, we used to wrap up in sheep's clothing, wool in the car to stay warm and all of that, you know. And she said, we've been delivered from all that. What I'm saying is, you know, we made sacrifices. We've all made sacrifices, but we got to be willing to sacrifice for the Lord. If we're going to walk with the Lord and have the anointing and have the grace multiplied and have the increase of the kingdom of God, then we got to be willing to sacrifice for the Lord. If we're not willing to sacrifice anything for the Lord, then we can't expect to have the kingdom things added. That don't mean your life will be messed up. I've never seen anybody that has walked with the Lord and sacrificed and did their best to do the will of God. I've never seen those kind of folk with a messed up life 15 years later. I have not. I've never met one. I've met a bunch of them that started out running the race good and quit running the race, and their lives end up in a mess 15 years later. I've seen that, you know. But we have the, I mean, we're going to launch that street ministry. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to carry Beth and Travis with me. Oh, I'm just kidding, guys. No, I'm not going to put pressure on anybody. You know, the Lord, I mean, this has to be a heart thing that God's putting in your heart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you've got 2 months to get ready, to launch out into real ministry. Right? I personally know our sheriff. I talked to him today because these things won't leave me alone. And I talked to him today, and he gave me the lieutenant's number over to Blount County Jail, you know. And so I'm seeking the Lord. Hallelujah. But I was thinking about when I went. I worked a full-time job when I first started and all of that. And it was on a Thursday night. And I might have had to get up at 4:15 to get to work the next day. You know, but you know, when I went to the jails, I didn't consider all that. God said, go. He said, I want you to go to the jail. I didn't start thinking immediately, that's the flesh. But you know what that tells me? I wasn't too much flesh-minded at that moment. I was after God, and I wanted to do the will of God. And when you got that, all that reasoning is not really, it won't bother you anymore. Once you get your heart set, you want to do the will of God, then all of those things that tries to reason why you can't, you know, or it's going to take away from your life, those things begin to melt away. And then you begin to see clearly that God will give me grace. God will add to me. God will do what I can't do. God! You know, and then, you know, I was thinking about how that took sacrifice on Thursday nights. I didn't get home till late, you know, because I'd go in there and sit with I thought those doors are open. I thought those doors are open for us, God. We can go to these. You, all I need you to do is speak it to me. Speak it to me. And then I'm just speaking it. That's all I'm doing. I'm speaking it. And God will do what he wants to do. And the rest that ain't called to that kind of stuff, praise God, hallelujah, then you're called to pray and lift up this church and this ministry that God has anointed and give us grace to be a part of and blessed us. We are blessed going in, blessed going out. We the head, not the tail. We lend and not borrow. We've got all kinds of many. I mean, just like Mac, he goes to the Mac. You meditate on that for me, where you can say it without going to the Bible, because God wants you over there doing what to them people? Preaching the gospel to the poor. He sent you to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to them that's held captive over there, covering of sight to the blind. Lay your hands on them. Lord will begin to lead you. He'll begin to lead you over, because it's not about a song. It's not about a sermon. It's about a heart. It's about a life. It's about healing. They're supposed to be living 120 years. Hallelujah. Healing. Jesus died for the whole world. Jesus took those stripes on for the whole world. Hallelujah. Everybody's supposed to be healed. It's God's will that everybody on this planet walk in divine health. Hallelujah. And it's our privilege through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can lay hold and we can come against heart failure. We can come against COVID and flu and the monkey flu and the next one. They've got variants they're coming out with. They're creating them in labs and sending them out in here. But we got power over it. We have power over it. We are the answer when they out there dying with this junk. Pray God, go and lay hands on them. These guys come, and I told you all a little bit about it. He would told me, brother, he said, go, man, could you pray for my brother? And he'd been struggling to breathe all night long, this last food giveaway. See, it's not about the food, actually. I'm telling you, that food opens the door for them to come in the presence of Jesus Christ that's in us. And that's why we have to come with a heart expecting God to use us. You know, I mean, stay focused and all that. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about staying ready where we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. See, if I'm talking to Monty, I can't hear her, Teresa. Right? If I'm talking, I can't hear the Holy Ghost. Most of the time, I won't be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I said, sure. I go over there and prayed God, and I get his hand and prayed for him, and there's a tear coming down his face on one side, praise the Lord. He looked at me, and he said, I feel better. I said, sure you do. Why? I'm anointed. Spirit of the Lord's on us. He's anointed us to preach the gospel. That's what we do out there. Go out there. Are you saved? Teresa, we got to get Bibles. Why you need to get a Bible? Because they need to read that Bible. We read it when we was lost. We got that Bible up, man, read that Bible. We didn't understand nothing. You don't have to. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, we might even go back to the homeless, mightn't we, Richard? Have you ever been, Richard? Been to the homeless, ain't we? Cooked them gravy and biscuits and grits and piled it that old rugged van. We wasn't looking at all that. God's called. See, I'm driving a truck and I begin to notice the homeless down there. I begin to notice there's on the streets. I had never really noticed it in that manner. But see, I was seeing through different eyes. And then I thought, glory to God, man. The Lord said, I want you to go to the streets. I want you to go on Christmas. I thought, not Christmas. I got to go to Granny's. Right? I got to go to Granny's. That's going to mess up whole Christmas. That's going to mess up a Christmas. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you are Christmas. So I had my brother Preston, you know, me and him working together. And so, man, I'm all fired up about it. And I tell him, man, I'm going on the street. Hey, I'm going with you. Well, praise God, hallelujah. So he gets on the swap shop. How many knows what the swap shop is? Yeah, he gets on the swap shop. He goes out there and he sings them a song, but right before the swap shop. Dumb to me. Everybody asked him, is that your little brother? And I'm like, did he sound good? They sang him right before the swap shop. Well, he gets on the swap shop, and he tells them, we're preaching the gospel on the streets at the homeless in Birmingham. He said, we go carry them food and clothes and blah, blah, blah. And you know, and all of that. If anybody wants to donate, and you know what? Every year at Christmas, we loaded up a truck with a camper on it, and we piled that thing full of gloves and clothes and coats and carried some Bibles. Look, God, down there on the homeless. Hey, some of them reject you. You got to get turned on to rejection. Because, see, that'll help you overcome your emotions and your feelings and getting your feelings hurt real easy and all that. Because this kingdom, you cannot be emotionally led and ruled and all of that, because you will get your feelings hurt and Satan will convince you that there's no use in doing it. So I would go down there and I would get rejected, but I won some to Jesus. And then the first year I found out, you know, we carried canned stuff down there and they're like, take it back with you, we can't use it. And I'm like, why can't you use it? They said, we ain't got no can openers. I thought, well, they can't go to the grocery store. So come back, we round up a bunch of can openers. When we carried the food back, but God, we carried some can openers and everything. Went down there one year. I'm talking about evangelism. That's what evangelism. Yes, I had to leave my family on Christmas, Johnny. Yes, I did. But you know what? God graced me and everybody was okay with it. I mean, God's grace come on me. See, I began to struggle with that back, you know, when I was a young Christian, you know, and I realized right quick, you know, when God wants you to do something, here comes His grace. His grace causes the ability and everybody to be good. And so I went down there one year on the streets. There's ministry, folk. See, most of the time, preachers, young preachers, they're looking for the pulpit. They're looking for the pulpit. They're looking for, you know, they don't really mean to, but their dream is just go preach a sermon, and get a check, and, you know, and all of that. But they just don't know God's going to bring up them the ladder of steal it all from you. They took my offerings. And God wouldn't let me retaliate. I was evangelizing, for God's sake. But you know what? He wouldn't let me. I was going to. I mean, I was going to let them have it, man. These preachers won't never do another preacher like that. You know, but God wouldn't let me. He would say things like, he'll speak to you in his own way. And how you understand it. God may not speak to you exactly the same way he speaks to me in situation, but he'll speak to you where you understand it very good. But he would say, I thought you didn't preach for money. And I told the Lord, yeah, but I got the same thing I put in the offering. I put 20 in there and got 20 back. I know everybody in there was throwing money in the pot. So I got what I give. You know, but anyways, I said, well, I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them. How many knows that's when you start growing? You start growing, and then God says, you watch this. And then he moves in a way and makes it up three or four times what you would have even thought about getting. Well, I go down there this one year we did with this church. This is before church. This is before church. We go down there, and then there's a bunch of kids, Johnny. They got cardboard boxes set up under them bridges down there. They got little campfires for them little kids to kind of stay warm and all of that stuff. You know, and I'm like, oh, man, these kids down here, this is terrible. This is terrible. So I start back home, and I'm telling God, I said, God, I said, I've got two vehicles. Me and Teresa could do without one of them. You gave them to me. Lord, you know I could sell, and, you know, and he spoke to me in the shower when I was telling him again. He said, how did you get it? I said, Lord, I begin to tithe, and I begin to believe you, and you begin to bless us and bring us out. He said, I'm sending you there, and they got the same opportunity for Jesus as you do. Well, what God was telling me, he wasn't telling me. He was saying, I want you to have compassion and I want you to go and preach the gospel. So anyways, I was like, man. So the next time I told him, I said, man, put it on there. We need toys. We need toys for these kids down there. Just imagine your kids or your grandkids living in cardboard boxes down yonder on the streets. And people would tell me, well, they could do blah, blah, blah. I said, that's none of my business. I don't know what they can do and what they can't do. I don't know how defeated they are. I don't know. I can't explain all that. All I know is he said, go. I got criticized because I could feed people around Blunt County. I get criticized, you know. Why do we need this? Why do we need that building for down there? And all of that. And all of that is directed by the enemy through unlearned, unknowing, don't care, whatever their case is, people that don't know what it is that God says, I want you to occupy this building. And you're doing it because God said. God told me in there I would live in houses that I didn't build. I live in one. He told me that I would drink out of a well through the word that I did not dig. I drank water out of it. I wouldn't stop till I put a pump in it. And I drank water and I said, I just done it, God. I just drank water out of a well that I didn't dig. He said you would eat out of vineyards that you didn't plant. Little did I know, I looked up one year And there was a scorpion vine. I like them scorpion. Whoo, I like them. You know, end of the year, boy, they're sour, bitter, salt. And it's growed up in that tree. And it's trying to reach up, I believe, to God. Caused me to see it on that tree in the edge of them woods. So I got my little grandkids, them two right there, and I went out there and I thought, man, I'm going to eat off vineyards that I didn't plant. Somebody must have planted this while, I don't care, it come from God. And so anyways, I got that thing down out of that tree and we built a rack across there and they eat off of it. That's been several years ago. They eat off of it this year. I eat off of it every year, praise God. Well, I eat out of vineyard that I didn't plant, Monty. Now, somebody's going to eat out of mine one day that they didn't plant, I'm sure. But what I'm saying is, all the time, seeking the kingdom of God, and God giving me desires for me and for Teresa, but the kingdom, keeping it all balanced. You got to keep it balanced. You got to balance your life. We're in control, hallelujah. We can control some things in our life. And the things we can't control, then we say, you work this all to my good somehow. What we can't control and what we can't do, we rely on Him, and then He does it, praise the Lord. Well, we had toys that next year, boy. Woo! Hallelujah. Boy, we carried toys. I was in a hurry to get down there for them kids. You know, let's go around and get down under them. Oh, we brought them Christmas, Richard. We carried them coat and clothes and gloves and bargains. And then we carried them little bicycles used. It didn't make no difference. We had a whole truckload of toys and all of that stuff, you know. And it caused me to realize how blessed that my son was. Caused me to go back and say, he really don't need all, you know. They got nothing. So then the door opened up to go to Mexico. I'm believing for y'all. Y'all need to go at least out of the country one time. I'm believing God to open that door up for some of you that has a desire to go in another country. Well, I started over there, and they had told me they was kids over there. And so I told Travis, I said, okay. I told him, son, I said, you've got abundance. He's little, like Aiden, I don't know, maybe not that old. And I told him, I said, these little kids, and I explained to him, I said, they're little kids over there in the streets over there, and they've never seen a Hot Wheel. Never seen a Hot Wheel. You know, and I'm telling Travis, you know, and I'm telling him, son, you know, give them kids something. Boy, he goes in there, and I had a whole garbage bag out of his room. He didn't have nothing, did he? Room wasn't but 11 to 13. But anyway, praise the Lord, I carried him over there, and I'm all excited, and I throwed that bag up on my shoulders and get out of that van after we drove across 7 hours. Trees ain't but that tall over there. I'm like, man, where's the trees? And that missionary, he said, that is the trees. They don't grow that tall over here. I said, man, we got beautiful oak trees that me and three of us can't reach around over here. These are just, anyways. I get out of that van, plug God, and here they come. I mean, a little dust flying up behind them kids. I mean, about 30, 40 of them kids, boy. They seen that bag on, and here they come. They come up to me, and I'm trying to get it around because I'm like, I'm saying, uno, 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 because they're going to take them all. I'm just thinking, man, get one apiece, you know. Well, they taking me down, so I just throw the bag. Man, they got off of my, whoo, hallelujah. Well, you know what? I came back, and I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. Lord, you sent me halfway around the world. You sent me all the way over there, Lord, to see your people over there and to be your hand and your feet. I had an old generator, and I told Johnny, because they don't have power over there, man. And I told Johnny, I said, look, man, I said, I want to donate a generator, man, for you to build them churches over there. He had rented a drug cartel house, man. That's terrible. I mean, it was a big mansion. But he's dealing with the drug dealers over there, man. You know, and I'm like, well, I guess you can use Satan if you want to. I use him now. He works for me. What he means for my bad, God turns it around when I stay in faith and when I believe him. When I believe for sevenfold return, everything the enemy steals, then he worked for me. He didn't know it. But he thinks he's taken from me, but he's going to add to me. Because I don't take no for an answer. When this Bible says it, bless God, I lay hold of it and I declare it and I mean what I'm saying, praise God. Now I had to go back there and I had to work on that to where I got past my head into my heart, because my head would say, you really don't believe it. And I'd be like, I believe it. I choose to believe it. And so then we come on down to the church here. See, we're going to go to the nursing homes. You're already a branch. The doors are open. We got nursing homes in Oneonta. I got access to all of them. I know I got friends in high places, not low. I'm not Garth. We got friends in high places. The earth and everything belongs to him. He said he would give us the ground that our feet trod on. Hallelujah. We wasn't born in Florida and raised in Florida. We're here. We're right here. We're not here by accident. We might have been somewhere else, but here we are. Right in the middle of the will of God. You would rather be stuck in the middle of the will of God than be wealthy out of it. Hallelujah. And so then here we come, man. And I'm like, we're going, and this church, Richard and all, I mean, somebody that tithing on food stamps. He come and asked me, man, we drawing food stamps. Oh, my, have a bunch. Kind of tithing, I'm thinking. I could see one and two and five and $10 food. I've been on food stamps. I'm thinking, nah, man, how are we going to spend them as a church? I've never been there. I don't know, man. I've never been confronted with food stamps. I mean, if you want to bring chickens, sure, I've read it in the Bible. They bring chickens and they bring, you know, offerings and apples and whatever their fruit are, but food stamps? So I thought, man, what do I do about this, Lord? You know, ain't nobody in here going to buy groceries, I don't reckon. And the Lord said, tell him, we didn't even have the food ministry. We had a pantry. And the Lord said, just tell him to buy that much tithe groceries and put in the pantry every month. I said, oh, okay. Well, you know, it wasn't long. He wasn't tithing on food stamps. And then we started the food ministry in Richard. Well, because you can't tell it today, but he likes to eat. He told his block today, and I told him, I said, the Lord's going to get rid of that for you, that belly. I was just playing with Richard. He knows I love him. Well, yeah. Well, old Richard, yeah, let's cook some breakfast. He's a mountain man. Boy, we're going to cook some sausage. Boy, he ain't like none of this turkey bacon. No, get some real stuff. So we cooked up meals and put them in gold plates and took them to the streets, didn't we? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm stirred up about it, Johnny. Hallelujah. Praise God. He going to do it again. I'm excited. Hallelujah. I'm excited what God's going to do. And people might say, well, how are y'all going to do all that? We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Hallelujah. He's going to put it in some of you to go to those nursing homes, hospitals. They got I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I said, who do I preach to, man? And I named off all the denominations that I know. Baptist, Methodist, something free will this and free will that and under will this and that. And there's so many denominations, man. I went and told God, I said, God, I drove through here. I said, there's 13 churches down here in Bluntville. What do you want another one for? He said, what has that got to do with it? I said, okay. In other words, he's probably telling me, really ain't none of your business. I'm up here seeing what you can't see. I want done what you don't know yet. I want to get done. I want something accomplished in Bluntsville. And then he told me, he said, you're not the first one that I've called to do it. Well, you know what? We have done exploits through this church for 24 years. Hallelujah. I am convinced in that Bible, before I started pastoring this church, that those that do know their God will do exploits. Extraordinary things. I've seen churches try to start a food ministry down there and break the whole church up, nearly close it down. The anointing is on us. Spirit of the Lord's on us. He's anointed us to preach. And then Teresa, she keeps saying, we got to get Bibles. We got to get Bibles. Well, we're going to win these people to Jesus Christ. This food line is a training ground to let you operate in by the Holy Spirit, to let you operate under the anointing, to let you learn how to discipline yourself and hear from the Holy Spirit. Everything is a training ground. Hallelujah. Higher into the things of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to take a trip to Birmingham sooner or later. I'm going to take a day off. And I'm going to praise Him all the way to Birmingham. And I'm going to say, God, I'm going to go look. And God, I want You to direct. You tell me. You tell me. Because I'm ready to lead people forward to win the lost, to restore and heal and set free. Hallelujah. You know, I experienced a lot of things, D, in raising. I've raised them out of a coma and different things, you know, through my willingness and fasting and praying and seeking the Lord. See, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we live down here and we function. I pulled in today. The Lord said, go over there and get your oil changed. I go over there to get my oil changed, done and a new one over there. And I get tired of them charging me $140 to change my oil. And so the guy's out in the parking lot and I pulled in there. But now, 2026, I'm believing for this to be a year to increase me, right? You should be expecting God to increase you. Shouldn't just hear a sermon and say, "Woo, that was good. Yeah, now, no." You go looking for it. You go expecting it. You go expect doors to open up that wouldn't normally open up. You expect favor to happen to you that it don't happen to everybody else. You expect supernatural things happening that you know is God. Pulled in there and I said, "Hey, man." I said, "How much it cost to get this oil changed?" He said, "How many quarts you think?" I said, "It's a 6-quarter. "Oh, well, we got the regular oil, 62-something. We got the synthetic oil, 82-something. We got the full, boy, they make it full synthetic." I said, "Nah, give me the 80-something. I said, "I've been running Delo 400 in it. That's diesel oil. They say you can't. I believe Philippians. Right?" He said, "You run Delo in it?" I said, "I've been running Delo in it." I said, "They say you can't." And I said, "I proved you can. My oil might be thicker. That might be better. Don't get beat up as quick." So anyways, if you want to use Delo 400, it'll last just as long. So I said, "But let's do that." He said, "Are there anything else you want? Because they're major on shoving a new filter on you, a serpentine belt." And they wore Teresa out for a year and a half, and I just kept running that serpentine belt, Year and a half. And I told her, I said, "It's fine." She said, "Just look at it." I went and looked at it. A little dry rotted, but it's fine. It's fine. Year and a half later, that serpentine belt's still going. I saved $20, $40. No, they're $60 a piece. I kept it 3 years. Monty, I didn't get robbed every other year because of Abilene. Hallelujah. My stuff don't wear out like normal stuff. Right? Hallelujah. We can endure another 30 years here. Right here. Whatever God says. Well, I pulled in there, and then he's standing there looking, you know, and I'm noticing the garage doors. You notice what you major in. They're not pulling all the way up. The rubber's about half off and all that, you know. And I'm just sitting there, and then I just I just forgot about it. And that guy, one of them guys, he said, hey, he said, tell that manager if you can to step out here when you get time. He said, I was going to tell him. So he goes in there and that manager comes out there and he walks over to my truck and he said, are you local? And I said, I've been around here 30 years. Garage doors. I was in one of my service trucks. And he said, you got a card? I said, absolutely, I got a card. Now, Richard and I give him a card, and he said, oh, Weston. I said, listen. I just told him right quick, Johnny. I said, listen. I said, Weston didn't pull in. I said, integrity pulled in. I said, you never judge a book by the cover. Some of them covers causes me not to read a book. Well, there's probably a lot of good stuff in there. And he said, oh, yeah. And I looked at him and I said, and don't you ever call anybody again but me. Okay, and all them guys are like, well, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, right? He told me to get my oil changed there, right? That's what he said. There's three or four places down there. He said, go down there. And so I go down there. So I will make money. I'll get my oil money back. Right? And then some. I call it favor. I call it in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. You'll be in the right place at the right time. You're in the right church tonight. This year, God is going to pour out spiritually, physically, and financially in your life. Hallelujah. You're going to leave 2026 and you're going to say, glory to God. Oh, I'm looking for 2027. Lord, this has been a good year. I walked in the other day and I was talking to me and Travis getting fuel. Walked in there and I told that lady something. She was the boss. I figured she probably was, you know. Had somebody up here at the restaurant. And I said something to her and she acted like she wasn't paying attention to me, you know. And I said something, I told her, and I said, I was talking to the boss. And then she went like that, you know. And so I had to go back in and I told her, I said, I was talking to you, but I have to talk to her, but you're not really going to do nothing. You was late for work and you're the boss. She was here and you had to show it. I don't need your information. I said, well, okay. I walked out, you know, and I thought, that was conviction showed up at your door. Right? Because I'm on time. How many knows you ought to be on time? On time. Walked over to Samantha a while ago. I told her the other day, I said, howdy there, preacher.
Preacher.
And then you throw her up behind the pulpit.
I just want to tell you what the Lord, and I was eating dinner today, and my father-in-law, and he ain't really into blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, good, she don't know it.
She don't even know it. She just gets up, starts telling you how to do it. I'll sit with him, and man, it's easier just to go to hell than it is to go to church. See, that's your life is evangelism. And you enjoy it. I mean, it ain't there. God, Jesus, I just got to tell him. I just got to, man, I hate it. Why can't I just leave church at church and eat dinner? See, that don't satisfy the believer. Why? I was standing with somebody the other day and they was telling me, they said, you know, here a while back, they said I was about half backslid and blah, blah, blah. He said, and you started coming around every day. You was coming around. I knew him. And you come around every day. And he said, all you could do is the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Jesus this, Jesus that. He said, and I'm standing there thinking, my God, is that all he can talk about? I thought, can't we talk about the truck? Can't we talk about them tires? But you just got to keep talking about Jesus. And I said, well, I didn't know it. He said, no, it wasn't you. He said, you've been that way your whole life since you've been saved. He said, that's just you. You was just being you is all you was being. He said, it was me. He said, it was me out of union with God. He said, and everything you were saying was getting on my nerves. He said, but when you left, I'm telling you this for real. He said, but when you left, I began to think on it. And I began to, he said, and I began to draw closer because of you was doing that. How many know sometimes God puts you in position on the streets with the homeless, in the jails? You think they're in jail because they've been going to Sunday school and paying their bills and not ripping people off? Have you ever thought about it? What are they in jail for? So you go in there, and their preacher's been trying to get them to go to church. Their mom and him's been praying for them. Pray God, hallelujah. My sister come to me one time, and her son threatened to kill her with a hammer if they didn't give her insulin needles. Shooting up. They're going to kill us. He's going to kill us. And she said, I want you to pray. She said, I want you to pray. He's going to kill us, man. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to pray. I said, but I'm praying that he goes to jail. I said, I done prayed for him to be saved. Done fasted. He won't submit. He won't submit to the Lord. Right? What else do you pray? Save him, Lord. We done prayed that. So anyways, we pray, I pray, and I told her, I said, okay, now don't get upset when things happen. It wasn't too long, he's in jail, and he's been there the rest of the time. 15, 20 years now. Gets out and goes right back, gets out and goes right back. His life is prison now. He likes it in there. You know? See, that was a part of being involved in the working of the Lord in that family. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. Get that right there. The Bible says in Luke 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, people told me that I couldn't be in business and be in full-time ministry. Well, the Lord has proved it out not to be true for 30-something years. And then again, there's people that are not supposed to be working that he's wanting full time. It works both ways. That he wants full time in the work of the ministry. The Apostle Paul was one of them. He told him, he said, go take care of these widows, take care of this. He said, because we're not going to neglect prayer and the ministry of the word. Preaching and ministering the word is a ministry. Talking to your family about Jesus and about the Lord, just like you did, that's ministry. That's the ministry of Jesus, hallelujah. Untold provision supplied to people that put the kingdom high priority. You put the kingdom, and you know the kingdom's in you. You got to put it high priority. You got to feed on God's word. You got to control your mind with thoughts of defeat and stuff. I mean, I used to stand around and listen to people tell dirty jokes and talk about their old lady. And I don't call my wife old lady. She's my wife. She's a daughter of the Most High God. She's a king and a priest, according to the Bible. She's royalty, right? You are. All of y'all are. That's seeking first the kingdom. Because we got to put God's things high priority. Untold provision in my life. No way I could have figured it out that this is going to work this way. When I was in church, on the streets, people giving me vans so I could be a blessing. I mean, all kinds. But Jesus wasn't just Jesus to me on Sunday. Jesus was Jesus on Monday and Tuesday. Not that I was perfect. I had a lot of flaws. I put bumper stickers all over my vehicle about Jesus, and Teresa was ashamed of it. Because, Johnny, I hadn't changed nothing, but my heart had. So she was like, oh, my God. People, we don't even tell them we're saved right now. You know. But that fire and excitement on them, so you can't help it. Because God don't look at you the way you are. God looks at you the way that he's going to change you and bring you into that perfected place, that mature place, that place of solid faith, that solid ground. Hallelujah. God makes a way where we can't see a way. When we make his kingdom high priority. This is for high priority people. I said it Sunday, if you're going to walk with God, not do ministry, if you're going to walk with God, you will have to get rid of that mentality as I can't. That you got to completely get rid of that. Get it out of your thinking, get it out of your speaking, and how you do that is to replace it with Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you get rid of that and get that in your mind and in your heart, then there is nothing impossible because you will be believing. You will. He's helping you to do it. God makes a way where we can't see it. He opens doors that wouldn't normally open. He provides spiritually. I mean, I'm talking about spiritually. I mean, he makes you a spiritual giant on the inside. I mean, to where the enemy comes and you're like, bring it. Come on, try me. Come on over here, try this church. Mess with this church. Mess with my business. Come on, steal something I got. Let them dopers, I'm not looking at them dopers. If they steal my stuff, they got the anointing. The anointing came in their life, praise God, and it's working because it belongs to me, and the anointing's on it because it's mine. They're linked to me, and now, praise God, they've had it. The anointing is going to break the yokes, and they might be the very ones that lassoed in by the Holy Ghost that comes back into your life and be the biggest blessing in your life you ever thought could be possible. He provides spiritually. He increases the anointing. He gives those that engage in His will and purpose. He gives them purpose and want to and zeal. Hallelujah. We have to be careful not to think God's will is just all about us. He told me. I mean, we wouldn't do it on purpose. But we can get in that mean mentality. Man, what about me? What about us, God? And we need this, and we want this, and we want this, and we want this. Most of the time, when we're like that, God will give us opportunity to give something away. He'll give us opportunity to begin to get rid of that. Get rid of that mentality, praise God. Just to get rid of it, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, be praying. Be praying for what we're going to lunch. And we'll lunch more than that as the Lord directs us. But we're going to do those two ministries, street ministries. You know, we're going to do those, praise God. And like I said, you know, don't feel no pressure in it. You look on the inside, you ask the Lord, are you supposed to be involved? You'll have that desire. Him puts it in you both to will and to do. You'll have that desire to go. But if you lean to this, you can kill that. You just say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, I'll go for you. I'll go, just surrender that, and that's your will to His, praise God. And then He'll do the rest. Father, we just